Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's always, it's always an honor when a pastor, even if you're related to them, would ask you to come and speak to people that they shepherd. So I don't take that lightly, and I really spend a lot of time. I have 10 pages of notes, okay? We're not going to get through them all, and that's okay. We don't have to. I'm going to say what God wants me to say. Please, Lord, use me in the way that you want me to be used. So I don't know. You guys, I'm pretty vulnerable with you, so you know I deal with a lot of, like, anxiety and used to be depression. Sometimes I get those days pretty bad still, but they are better and fewer and farther between than they used to be. I feel like I can see it coming and kind of try to get ahead of it. And if it blindsides me, I just ask for grace with my family, but I tried not to just stay in it. I used to just stay in it and, like, focus on it and everything that could go wrong and all the things that I was facing. And it's not that I don't ever spiral out and freak out or complain, because, you know, I do, if you know me. But I'm working on it. I'm a work in project. And so when it comes to being an older parent, you know, I didn't have all my friends that I grew up with, all their children are, like, graduating high school. So I'm like, I got a long way to go. And that's fine. This is when the time that she was supposed to come, and we're gonna do it the way God wants us to do it, to the best of our ability. But you get exhausted. And because I have been not a parent for so much of my life, I'm a very selfish person. So I like my own time, I like my own space, I like my things to stay clean and neat and not broken. And that doesn't matter to her. Because to her, she doesn't understand the concept of money. Learn. No, I'm just kidding. That's the title of the message, is learn today. And I'll tell you, there are things that I find that I nitpick on because they're pet peeves, but I focus so hard into them that they really, really are detrimental and can throw me off course. So my husband lovingly has sent me, you know, he lets me have some time away with my mom where I get away and I get out of town, and it gives me, like, a refresh. I get to sleep for, like, 5 days, which is awesome. I don't really do anything. I eat some food and I sleep and I watch the beach, and we usually go to the beach. That's, like, my favorite place to go. So I watch the ocean. I lay in the sand. Mom doesn't like the sand. I love the sand. So we spend a lot of time apart, believe it or not, when we're down there. And it's quiet and awesome. And I love it. And I feel refreshed. And I've learned that God sets time apart and rest is important. I learned that. Because if I didn't learn that, then when I go to get milk out of the refrigerator and there's, like, a tablespoon in there, and Violet wants chocolate milk, and it's 7 a.m. and I'm in my pajamas and I don't want to go to the store, I'm like, when's he going to learn that I need him to just throw the carton away so I don't think there's milk in there? We talked about this last night. I'm like, can I share that? Is that too much? And he was like, I don't care. Because I do a lot of crazy stuff too, but he's not talking today. I am. So, but it's like, when are we going to learn? And that's just such a small thing. It's so small. But it messes with me. You know what it does? It's that thing that's like, it gets in there. It's like the little fox. It's the littlest stuff, man, that sends us over. When will we learn? That God sets us in a place where we learn it. And if we don't learn it, you know what happens? It never changes. It never changes. What is the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's never going to change. So just because somebody else doesn't learn it doesn't mean you can't. So you know what I learned? I'm going to pick up the milk carton the night before. I know that we don't have enough milk for in the morning. So I'm not going to talk about chocolate milk. I'm going to get her excited about something else. Let's have water, and I'll put some liquid IV in it, and it'll be like lemon pie, okay? Lemon pie water, that's what we call it, and she loves it. So there are a lot of times in our lives when we take a posture of, why am I dealing with this stuff again? And I think I think this is kind of like a classic human existence. There are things that we face, and they come in different forms, but they feel the same. And then you find yourself, you're like, I'm in the same situation. Different people. It's a little different, but it's basically the same. What is God trying to teach me? So the question we ask ourselves, and this is the overlying question through the whole message, is what is the spiritual parallel to this natural process, this natural situation that I'm going through? What is the spiritual parallel? So we're taking it to God always. There's never another answer. And I'm sorry, because I have looked and I have partied my way out. And I'm telling you, there's never another answer. I enjoy a glass of beer or a glass of wine or a cocktail. But I'm not an alcoholic. So for me, that's not a conviction I have. If God does ever convict me and say, I don't want you to have any more alcohol ever for the rest of your life, you better believe that I'm going to go, okay, I will never drink again. But for me, I won't drink in front of somebody who struggles with that. If that's a struggle you have, I respect you and I love you enough, I don't need it. So if that's something that bothers you, I won't do it. And if it's something that bothers you, please come talk to me. I'm open. I'm an open door and I'm an open book. So you can always come to me. I'm the least offendable person, I think, and at least I'm trying to be. So come to me if you have anything you want to say about that. But that's just one example of something that is something we need to learn about too. But I want to talk. I'm kind of all over the place a little bit, so bear with me here. I do want to talk about biblical principles of or people that are examples of situations they found themselves in over and over again, circling the same mountains and never having victory, or so it seems. And God still honored them. He still made a covenant with them. He still brought them through things. So you got Abraham. Abraham lied about his wife, Sarah. Do you think that his son, Isaac, knew that story ever? Because then Isaac did it. So he lied to protect his wife. They both told their wives, hey, say you're my sister so this king and this ruler doesn't kill me because you're very beautiful. And it's just a bad situation. It's like, learn. And then we read these stories and it's like, why are we lying? Why lie? Learn. Jacob was a deceiver. Even through everything that he went through, mom just talked about him and him assuming Esau's position and Isaac being old and blind. He's like, well, you smell and you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. So, I mean, I guess here's the meal and let's do this. He was still a deceiver all the way through. So he goes and he gets deceived. You know, that's karma. That's justice. And so he gets Leah and then he gets Rebecca. And then he goes back out into the land and he runs into Esau, who is over the moon to see him, who has his own men and his own provisions. And you know what Jacob says to him? He's like, oh, no, you go ahead and you go there and I'll meet you there. But does he? No, he goes somewhere else. So, I mean, he never learned. He could have had a totally different relationship with his brother, but he was scared, I think. And he deceived. Moses, he didn't, for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. He never learned leadership. God called him to it. He said, look what you did. You don't think that I can raise you up to be a leader? You're not going to hold these people accountable? You got to hold your people accountable. Learn. That's for us too. I mean, we might not be leading people out of slavery or bondage, but really you are, because discipleship does that. When you're discipling somebody, and you're in communication with somebody and somebody trusts you with the most precious parts of their life, learn that you are discipling them and you are leading them out of slavery, because the authority that God placed inside of you is the same that rolled the stone. Here are some things that I think that as humans, this is where I started, but then I went back to that. But here's where I started. I think these are temporary gratification things that we give into because it feels good in our flesh. And it's just easy. It's easier than the hard road or the thing that we really want. So you have a goal. If your goal is to have good communication, but you don't talk to anyone, how can you have good communication? Learn. Talk. Say what you need. The first time is always the hardest. The first time you like I'm by nature a people pleaser. I don't like to confront things. I don't like it, but I will talk about it endlessly, which is bad. So that's for me. Learn to communicate what you need, but what happens is I have pendulum swung all the way to the other side. So then I sound mean when I'm saying it because I'm so frustrated, not at that person necessarily, at myself, that now I'm here, I'm at this age in my life, and I still can't say, I don't want that, or no. No is a complete sentence, by the way. Just no. You don't owe anyone an explanation. Just no. No. I don't. That's it, period. Learn. I'm speaking to myself, too. I'm saying it to you guys because I think it's funny, and there's kind of like a lot, but I want to keep it a little light. So communication, if you're not talking to somebody, if you're not talking about what you need, how can your expectations ever be met? It doesn't work. We got to learn it. Junk food. Look, whether you're a sweet or salty person, I'm an indulgent person. I like it all. I like a little steak with butter, potato, sour cream, little veg. And then I like a big piece of cake, cheesecake, pie, and then I want some chips. And then I might want candy. I'm an indulgent person. So whatever way you lean, if your goal is to be healthy, to live a long life, junk food is not the answer. It doesn't mean you can't have a little. I cannot. I have to stop. I have to just completely stop. That's just me because I'm an indulgent person. So if I have a little, I have to have a lot. And I can't just have one. I have to have five. So I got to stop. I got to slow it down. So I have to say no, which is a complete sentence. No. Learn. And I have to go work out. Do it. Learn. So it's not good for us. It doesn't help us. We got to change it. Gossip. I think everybody, I don't even think sometimes we know we're doing it. I don't think our intention a lot of the time is to gossip about somebody or to slander somebody. But when we're talking about somebody and it's not positive in any way to whoever it is, thank God for mercy and grace. Because, you know, when you're with your kids or your mom or your parent or your friends and you have like a situation or you're in a situationship, I don't know, maybe, and you want to talk about the other person that's in that, on the other side of that, sometimes, I mean, there is venting. There is grace, okay? I'm not saying go do this, but where do we learn? Like, how can we make it more positive? Like, hey, if this is a situation you find yourself in and you don't want to be there, but you care about this person still because they're obviously in your life and they're affecting you, learn that we want to talk positively about them. Doesn't mean you don't change the details of the situation, but maybe own up to your part too, because it takes two in every relationship. Maybe you are completely innocent, but you know what? God is your victor. He reveals the truth always. It always comes out, and you don't have to own something you didn't do, but you don't have to make somebody else look poorly. It hurts others. It spreads dissension. It hurts us, and it puts stuff between us and God. That's the truth of it. Your identity. We have to learn about what God says about us. We put so much stock into what other people say and think. And so I took some screenshots here really quick. We're created in God's image. That's what he says about us. We're children of God. We're new creations. We're masterpieces. He calls us his handiwork. We're chosen. We're beloved. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. These are not in my notes, Tammy. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For God gave us the spirit of fear. It goes on and on. There's so many scriptures about this. Your identity, learn what God says about you. Your provision, that's a big one. I mean, provision is different for everybody. Some people it's gonna be finances, some people it's gonna be food, some people it's gonna be in their relationship. So provision is kind of a big word. I always think finances and food, because again, I'm an indulgent person, so I think, what am I gonna eat? What's for lunch? What's for lunch? Think about that. But the Bible says he will supply all your needs. He is the source of all our provision. He provides when we owe our own means. And in any insufficiencies we have, he always comes through when we're seeking him. So the response to that is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And if you aren't communicating to God your needs and the things that you want and desire, how he already knows. He knows what you need. And he knows what you want. And you know what's crazy? Is he will always meet your needs. Because he'll by his word, he will meet what you need. Not always what you want. I said it in a different way. I said, God keeps his promises 100% of the time. But he does not keep your preferences 100% of the time. So it might not come or look like what you want it to look like. But he will never fail. Because he cannot fail. Because he's God. So we don't worry because worry just adds to us. But we petition God. So we learn that we petition God with the things that are in our hearts. He even went back to, he told Isaiah to write the vision. And I know that was in context to a different situation. But the fact remains, if you're writing it down and you're praying on it and you're believing and trusting God to move on it, either your heart will change or you will have breakthrough and provision will come. And he will speak your identity to you through that as well. How can God make us rulers over much if we are not faithful in the small things? The definition of learning is, it's like here, but it's not here. It like cut off. We know what learning, to gain or acquire knowledge. To gain or acquire knowledge or skill in something by study, experience, or being taught. They started learning French. There's a bajillion similar words. I'm just going to do a couple of them. To know inside and out, to read up on, to have lessons in, to get the point, to gain an understanding, to become competent in, get clued up about, be taught, study, to know backwards and forwards, to become aware of something by information or from observation. And the core principles of learning, according to the Bible, in my opinion, are having a reverence for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. That's Proverbs 1:7. To be humble, I think if you're going to learn anything and you're going to learn lessons that you don't want to repeat in life and you don't want to be circling the same mountain over and over again out in the wilderness, you have to really have humility. You have to be humble enough to go, this isn't working for me. Who do I see that has victory and success in their path with God? I'm going to go ask them how they got there. Novel idea, all the way back to communication and asking about what you want. Learn. So, reverence for God, humility, a lifelong pursuit. Learning never stops. It's something we do forever. And if you stop learning, you stop growing. And if you stop growing, you grow stagnant. And have you ever been around water that just sat there for so long? And it has the perfect conditions. The humidity is right. It's deep enough. There's enough stuff in it. It's got nasty bugs in it. And it's just like, and it rains just enough or there's runoff just enough to keep it smelling like absolute disgusting sewagey grossness. It's disgusting. That's what happens if we don't grow. You're stinky and nobody wants to be around you. And then you're wondering why you're all alone, sitting around twiddling your thumbs. So, reverence for God, humility, a lifelong pursuit. And then there's a holistic aspect to it. So the Bible encourages learning in all aspects of life. So it actually encourages you to have a spiritual learning and practical skills. And it includes your God-given talents and being equipped for every good work. So when people say the Bible is irrelevant, I'm like, you're insane. It talks about literally everything. Have you ever read it? Like, for real? I mean, it gives instruction for literally everything, and it encourages me to not just sit like a bump on a log, to actually be a human being and be contributing to society and make a difference and make an impact, at least to one other person. So Proverbs 1:7, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't want to be foolish. The Passion Translation says it like this. We cross the threshold of true knowledge when we live in obedient devotion to God. Stubborn know-it-alls will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and knowledge. when we go back to, this is my least favorite scripture because it's so gross, and I can't believe it's in the Bible. But 2 Peter 2:22 says, like a dog going back to his vomit, that's what it's like when we go back to things that didn't work before, but we're trying them again. And I literally have this image of myself trying to eat that. And, you know, it made me feel so sick. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say it. So I didn't eat this morning just for that reason. And I'm okay. But disgusting. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to have this idea that I'm just going back to things that I've regurgitated. You know, that's disgusting. God is bringing me somewhere else. He's bringing you somewhere else. He wants us to learn. And not just so that we can be like a know-it-all and be a stubborn know-it-all at that. No, so that we can grow. So we have victory in our life. He doesn't want us to stay here in things that hurt us. He doesn't want to see us going through the same things over and over again. That's why he gave us free will. He lets us choose. He doesn't want to see us stuck there. But if we choose it, learn. I had a thought about this. In Matthew, let me look. I think it's Matthew. Did I put it in my notes? I might not have put it in there. Yes, Matthew 21:44, and also Luke 20:18 says the same thing. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. And in different versions, the word crushed, it says grind them to powder, to be pulverized, to be smashed. That's the New King James Version, the Passion Translation, and the Message. In case you didn't know those abbreviations, I'm happy to provide that for you. So what this is, Jesus just gave the parable of the vineyard owners. He just gave the parable of the vineyard owners where he sent servants to go and collect money and take care of the vineyard, and people wanted more money. They took the servants and killed them. And he said, well, if I send my son, they'll respect my son. And they killed his son. He said, the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Then he sent other servants. I can look it up too. I'm just being lazy now. Learn, Stacy. Did I put it in here? Oh, I did. Oh, good. So, you guys can read along with me. We'll start over. Matthew 21:33. Listen to another parable. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, there was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? That's what Jesus is asking. Therefore, what will the owner do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, and he will give his share of the crop at harvest time. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? This is so beautiful. I can't even hardly. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in your eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. So I had this idea of what does it mean if you have a shattered bone? This is interesting. If you have a shattered bone, there's a whole thing about, there's a whole process in which healing comes. I think I added this last night when I was looking this over. maybe not. It has three stages. There's the inflammatory stage, the reparative stage, and the remodeling stage. So in biology, when a bone breaks, the body's first response is inflammation, pain, and swelling. There's a rush of signals that say something's wrong. But in your spiritual growth life, it responds like this. It disrupts us. There's grief, there's conflict, there's failure, betrayal, there's burnout, all these feelings. They're on a path that no longer works. We have old beliefs or habits. I'm trying not to take too long because this could be a lot. I got time. Okay. So that's your inflammatory phase. There's something that's happened. Something's wrong. And typically what you would do in this situation is you'd go to the hospital. You'd call your doctor. Some people don't do that. I don't know what they do in those cases because I'm the type that if it hurts real bad, I gotta go. But then after that comes, so that could be like old beliefs and habits that we fall on too. Pain brings awareness. Something inside you says this can't continue, but we tend to cyclically go back and do the same things. There's a reparative phase or an integration and rebuilding phase. In the biological form, it forms a soft callus on the bone once it's set, and then it forms a hard callus, and new tissue begins to span across the fractures. It's like a messy and creative part where the bone's not strong, but the structure is in its healing form. So what this is when you start to do something new and something changes. So you're not going to do the old things that you used to do. You're going to see God. You're going to say, okay, God, I'm here again. I don't know why I'm here again, but what can I learn from this? All the times I've been through it before. And you adopt a new habit and God speaks to you about the things because you've communicated with him that you need some help because you've humbled yourself. You have a fear of God and an awe of him, and you're like, I'm going to try something new this time. And you receive support. You reach out to your community. You reach out to your people. You go to therapy. You have mentors or your pastor or some other people here in this church. And then you experiment with the change. Then the third part of that is the remodeling phase. It's the embodiment and transformation. In the biological, it would be weeks to months. The bones reshape themselves. They heal, they become smooth and strong, and sometimes even stronger than before. That's typically the case, especially in younger people. The body integrates the new tissue so deeply that it becomes part of the whole. So these are life lessons, and they become who you are, and not just what you're trying to practice. So your habits become natural things. Your boundaries feel normal rather than they're forced, and your wisdom becomes embodied rather than theoretical. And you're not just healing, you're transformed. So I had this image of bones being shattered, and I thought, what does that look like? So I asked Google, I said, if somebody's bones are shattered to dust, can they survive that? Is that survivable? And it said, unequivocally, no. It's not survivable. It's traumatic. There's no structure to support anything, and you're dead. And I had that thought in Matthew when if we don't change our habits and we keep going back to the same things over and over again, and we're stuck in these same places. I don't think that's sin necessarily. I wonder though, is that a rejection of Jesus? And I'm in this place where I'm asking myself, God, am I rejecting you by not learning these things and not learning these lessons and finding myself back in a place? I don't want to do that. I don't want to reject you. I love you, you know, but what does love look like? Learn with me. In this next season of our life as we're going forward, you know, I had this idea. I told mom, I said, you know, what really, really got me was this idea that the fear of God really is removed from our culture. So the answer to all of these things about learning and communication and all these things really is, it really boils down to this, because I'm not going to go into a lot of details. I'll share some stuff online this week. If you're interested, or I'll email you. You can give me your email or whatever. But if we've lost the fear and reverence of the Lord, and that doesn't mean you're afraid of God. You know what he's capable of, so you should be. But he chose you, and he calls you. So really, we have a reverence of his sovereignty, and we trust him implicitly, and we're awed by him. We're in this constant state of, it's just reverence. I mean, it's like if you walked into something that you find most sacred. Like, I'm not Catholic, but I'll tell you, if I walk into any beautiful Catholic church, any historical building, I'm going to treat it with such respect. I'm going to make sure my shoes are not dirty when I walk in. I'm not going to touch any of the artifacts or any of the art. I'm going to be really cautious about anything that I'm, because it's a beautiful thing. I want it to be sustained. I don't want to impact it in a way that's going to hurt anything in the future for future generations to enjoy that. And I'm not even Catholic, but I understand that people are reverent of that. And that means something to somebody. And they're honoring God in their way by putting it there. And I'm not going to come and junk on it. So I want to have the fear of God. I think that's going to restore things to me, that I won't be out there circling the same situations over and over again. And I think the biggest thing, too, beyond that, is that we have become passengers in our own lives. Remember that song, Jesus Take the Wheel? Yeah. Oh, we love Carrie Underwood. Oh, Jesus Take the Wheel. It's out of my hands. I'm not responding. You know what it did? It was a great song. And in an emergency situation, yes, will God come in? Yes, he will come and he will take the wheel. But I'm going to tell you, baby, that's your vehicle. He's not giving you a pass to just be like, Jesus has got the wheel. You're accountable. It says it over and over again in scripture. You're accountable. We have become passengers in our own lives, and it's a lazy man's lifestyle, a lazy woman's lifestyle. I don't mean to say man specifically. Men. But it's a lazy lifestyle. We have got to get back in the driver's seat of our vehicle and take accountability and learn that, yes, Jesus is going to come when we need him, but we got to get out of these situations where we're not communicating, we're not having an identity in Christ, we're not understanding the things he's bringing us through. And I don't know what specific things, but I'll tell you, I know, I guarantee you that every single person that exists on this planet around the whole world has something that they keep finding themselves in. And it's like, why is this happening again? Why is this guy I'm dating this way? We got to go back to our first love. We want to fall on the rock of Jesus and not be crushed by it. Because there's repair, there's restoration, there's hope. Unless you're totally pulverized, smashed to dust, nobody wants to be there. I don't want to reject Jesus because I'm not humble enough, that I have too much pride that I can't ask for help, that I can't be a little bit vulnerable. You know, am I perfect? No, not at all. Not at all. Do I want to be perfect? No, I honestly don't. But I do want to go from glory to glory. I want to go to the next level where Jesus has me because I know there's more. And you know what that means? I'm going to know him more. And I'm going to understand him more. And he's going to speak to me more. And I'm going to hear him. And I'm not just going to have to wonder all the time, like, was that God? Was that your voice? Because his sheep know his voice. And I don't want to think so highly of myself that I'm like, was that great thought? You, or was it me? You know, I know that he speaks to me, and I want him to use me. So I want the reverence, I want the awe and the fear of God, and I want to be in my driver's seat. I want to be taking control of every situation. I want the healing. I don't want to be out circling the desert for 40 years and not know that God called me to lead somebody and hold them accountable and be there for them. Does that make sense? So what are we going to do? We're going to learn. Yes, we're going to learn. Okay, awesome. That's pretty much it, but I'm going to pray over us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you love us enough to give us your word, God, that we would lay it like a treasure in our heart and we would ponder it. God, I pray that you would restore to us the fear of God in a most holy way, that we would remember that you are holy. And that you're not to be messed with, God, in that regard, that you would speak to us, God, that you would bring us out of the desert places. You know, fill us up, God, that we may be instruments that are used for you. If we need to be a little bit broken, we fall upon you this morning, God, that we wouldn't be crushed because we couldn't handle humbling ourselves enough to acknowledge your presence. Help us to get in the driver's seat of our lives, God. Thank you that you do take the wheel when we need you. Thank you for the support and people that you put in our life that love us and pray for us and pray with us. We honor you this morning, God, and we just give you the glory and the honor forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.